Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
So this morning we're going to continue our study in Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles there, we'll get to our text in just a minute. I don't know how many of you enjoy watching Survivor shows. You know, those ones that they take a guy and they dump him into the middle of the woods or some kind of just horrendous situation, just so they can show all these different techniques they have to be able to survive these really hard times. Now, you know, I like watching those shows. I would hate to be in those situations. I mean, if you watch what those people go through to survive, it's really quite incredible. And that's a very scary thing. I don't think I would do very well in that. I like the comforts of life a little bit too much. But I want to put you in your own survivor scenario this morning for just a second, all right? Pretend with me that for whatever reason, you find yourself in the middle of a desert. Okay, not a great place to be, no water around, nothing that you can see, all you see everywhere is sand, but you do have one bottle of water with you, okay? So all hope is not lost, you've got something to maybe sustain yourself. Well, as you're wandering around, trying to figure out where to go, you happen to come across this little building. And as you go into this building, you realize inside there, this is a well, okay? You've just hit the ultimate stroke of luck. In the middle of this desert, you just found a well, but of course, the water is very deep, and so you have a problem. There's no way for you to get it out. But you see this little sign up there, hanging there, and it says, in this well is a pump, but the pump has to be primed, and so it takes one full bottle of water to prime that pump. What do you do? What do you do in that situation? You see the sign, you want to believe it's true, because if it is, you got access to all the water that you need. But you also could happen to pour your one bottle of water and watch it go down and see nothing happen. And then you leave there feeling like the biggest fool in the world. Why would I pour my water down a hole? What was I thinking? Now, that would not be a fun situation to be in, and that would be a really difficult decision to make. But the reality is sometimes our Christian life really feels the same way. God has given us these directives. He's told us how to live our lives, and we have this decision to make. We have this internal turmoil that says, do I really want to trust and follow and obey what he's asking me to do? Because sometimes that feels really risky. I've only got one life to live. Do I really want to risk all of that because of what God has commanded and directed me to do? Because I don't want to get to the end of my life and feel like that fool who says, why did I just do all of that? Is it really worth it? And so sometimes this Christian faith feels like this constant battle of, God, I know what you're asking me to do, but it feels so risky to follow you and obey through faith. And so here in Hebrews 11, we have the story of a man named Abraham. And maybe you remember from your childhood days of sitting in Sunday school, Abraham is a man whose faith is profound. There's numerous stories about Abraham in the book of Genesis that show him to be a man who lived by faith. But I think we also realize that Abraham had these moments in his life where he would have felt like, God, this is such a risky thing you are asking of me. This is going to be really tough to follow you by faith. But here in Abraham, we see a man who's not a perfect man, but he is a man who understood what it meant to walk by faith. And so this morning, we're going to look at his life and see what are some principles for us if we want to be men and women who are willing to risk it all to follow Christ in obedient faith. So I invite you to stand with me if you can and if you're able. Out of respect for God's holy, inspired, and trustworthy word, starting out in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. I think you might have to help me here. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Father, I pray today as we study your word that we would hear from you. Father, it does these people no good to hear my voice, but God, it does all of us great good to hear from you. So God, I pray today that you would strengthen our faith, that you would help us to recognize the sure foundation we have in you. And Father, may we leave this place being people who are willing to risk it all to follow you in faithful obedience. And it's in your great name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to give you a little background into Abraham's life. Abraham, Genesis chapter 11, tells us that Abraham and his family lived in a city called Ur. He lived there with his father, Terah, and Ur was the largest city in the world at that time, people think. And so this city was a cultural hotspot. It was a wonderful place to live in that anything that you wanted culturally, it was there. It was a very prosperous city. And maybe most importantly, it was a very safe city. See, Ur was a place that had walls all around it. And in that day, and there was not a lot of cities that were safe. You were always in danger. You're always at risk. And so if you could live inside of one of these cities with walls, that was a major, major advantage. And so Abraham found himself really in a pretty good spot. He was living there with his family in a prosperous place. He was doing personally very well, and he was experiencing safety. But there was also a problem with Ur. You see, Ur was also a place that had forgotten the God of Noah. Ur was a place that was full of idol worship. In fact, we see in the story of Joshua, this is what Joshua tells us when he's retelling the story of Abraham. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, they dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." You see, Abraham was in a pretty good spot with his city being safe and prosperous, but there was a problem, that even members of his own family were worshiping false gods. So Ur was the capital of idol worship. That was what Ur was known for. It was a place that had forgotten about the God of Noah, and they were worshiping false gods. And Abraham found himself right in the middle of this kind of religion. Now, we don't know if Abraham himself was involved in this, but we do know it was very close to him with his family. So last week, we saw Noah. Noah was a just man in his generation. Even though the whole generation was living in chaos, he was a just man. But Abraham is a different story. Abraham, we don't have any record of him being a man of faith. We don't have any record of him having any communication or knowledge of God up until this point. All we know is that he was surrounded by the worship of false gods. So it's a very, very different story. But I want you to see what God does to this man, Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, we see this interaction, and God comes to Abraham. And the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your father and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So I want you to remember, we're familiar with this, and maybe for a little church lingo, this is called the Abrahamic Covenant. This was a time when God came to Abraham and he made a promise to him. But do you remember where Abraham was in the midst of this? Abraham was not a faithful man who was looking and pursuing God. Abraham was a man who was living in the middle of an idolatrous country. And yet God chose him. Somehow God could see Abram's heart and know, this is the man that I want. And so sometimes we have this idea about ourselves that God could never use me. I'm too far gone. I failed too badly. I've messed up my life too completely. But look at the man who God chose to use as the father of the nation of Israel. He chose a man who knew nothing about him. I want you to think about this and put yourself in Abraham's position. Here you are, you're prospering, you're with your family, you're safe. And this God who you maybe don't know much about all of a sudden shows up and says, "I want you to leave it all. I'm not asking you just to move to the next city. I'm asking you to move to the other side of the Arabian desert. I'm asking you to go on this dangerous journey. I'm asking you to leave your family, your culture, your safety. I'm asking you to leave it all." I think we'd all agree that sounds pretty risky. Abraham probably would have felt like, this is a great risk, and God, I don't even know if I know you well enough to trust you. You're asking me something so tremendous. But did you see how Abraham responded in verse 8? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. This is a radical response that Abraham chose to believe, even though internally it had to feel like the most risky decision of his life. And so when we look at Abraham, we learn this principle that walking by faith requires an active response. I want to break this down a little bit. Walking by faith requires an active response. First, this idea of active. You see, for Abraham, he chose to do a 180 with his life. See, faith wasn't just something that he's like, oh, I'll think about that. I'll consider that. That's pretty interesting. Abraham chose to change the direction of his life in order to walk by faith. Now, again, we have no record of him interacting with God before Genesis 12, where we just read. God came to this man, and he chose to call him with very little background, but Abraham obeyed. Now, this idea of obeying is not a very popular idea in our culture today. The idea of obeying carries the idea of one in subjection who knows there is one who has authority over them. Now, we don't really like walking through life that way, right? We don't like to walk through life and think, I know I'm a person who is subject to the authority of other people. That's something our culture is really pushing back on today. See, so when we see Abraham, though, he didn't, when we think of Abraham's obedience, Abraham didn't sit down and say, okay, I'm gonna weigh the odds on this thing. He didn't say, you know, I've kind of been thinking about moving my family anyway, so since you're asking, I guess I'll go ahead and jump in, because that really does kind of make sense. I think it's a good lateral move for us, you know. Sometimes when we think of faith, we think of it in those contexts. Well, if God asks me to do something, I'll at least sit down and consider it and see if he's too crazy or not to follow. This idea of obedience does not mean a calculated risk. This obedience is one who understands the one who is asking is in authority over me and has every right to ask me to do whatever they want with my life. And so when this God showed up to Abraham, he recognized this God who is speaking to me, I have to listen to. But we also see that it's a response. Abraham responded to God. This wasn't, we don't see any indication that Abraham was out searching for God when this happened. We don't see any idea that Abraham was a man who was calling upon the Lord and saying, God, please come to me and show me the direction for my life. Instead, we have a man who seemingly was just comfortably living his life when God chose to show up and interrupt him. See, sometimes today we get confused by this idea of faith. We kind of sometimes like to live our life saying, okay, God, I'm going to make this move. I'm going to do this thing. And I have the faith that you're going to show up and really bless what I decide to do. Right? Sometimes we try to be the initiators of faith and say, God, I am going to make the course for my life. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to make the decisions I want. And I'm going to trust, since you're good, you're going to swoop in and save the day when I'm about to really screw up. That is not how this worked in the life of Abraham. Abraham was responding to the God who called him. God was the initiator of this plan. Now, when we think about how this applies to our life, this is a very drastic, life-altering event. We see Abraham responding with an obedience that very few of us are ever called to something so extravagant. You know, sometimes God does call for these life-shaking obediences, but most of the time, obedience comes in very mundane tasks of life. You see, God has asked us to lay aside our lust and our anger and our unforgiveness and our bitterness. But oftentimes, we feel the same. We think, God, you are asking something of me that is so huge. And maybe if we're honest, we'll say, God, that sounds so risky. Some of us would have to admit, to lay down our anger, to lay down our unforgiveness, how would we get through a day? How would we manage life if we didn't have those things in our life? And so even something like laying down our old nature feels as risky as moving across the Arabian desert to a brand new place. But we're left with this same question. When it feels risky, can we trust enough to obey and follow. And maybe there's another area of life that feels the most risky of all. Have you ever really stopped and just thought about what God is really asking when he asks us to place our faith in his Son? God is asking us to base our eternal destiny of heaven or hell on this reality that the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son is enough. Now, there is nothing inside of us as humans that thinks, that seems real. That seems logical. That makes sense. Everything inside of us says, no, it has to be about if I'm a good person. Somehow that has to tie in. It has to be about me doing enough good things. It has to be about me following God in a certain way. But maybe the greatest, most strong feeling of risk that we have is this idea that God has said our eternal destiny hinges not on what we do, but on who we trust. That our eternal destiny, the opportunity to live forever in relationship with God and to have our sins paid for and removed, comes down not to what we do, but to choosing to place our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we want to be very clear as we look at this big idea that walking by faith requires an active response. We are talking about the life of a person who has already placed their faith in Christ for salvation, and they are now seeking to follow him in discipleship towards spiritual maturity. I can become a believer without this responding in radical obedience, but I cannot be a follower of Christ. I cannot be someone who is walking by faith if I choose not to obey. So trusting God feels extremely risky. And for many of us, this is a scary, scary thought. And it brings us to this question, why in the world would he do it? Why in the world would he leave all of that for something that had to just be gut-wrenchingly risky? When we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, we see the answer. Abraham had a different vision. He was looking for something else. And now we see this really fleshed out and explained in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 7, we have this story. Stephen here is preaching. And if you remember Stephen, he was the first martyr of the faith in the New Testament. And here in the final moments of his life, Stephen has the chance to talk to those who are getting ready to kill him. And what he does in this moment, he's pleading with them to understand faith. And so he talks to these people and he begins to recount their history. And look at how he describes the story of Abraham. And he said, brothers and fathers, listen. Listen to this. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Why would Abraham so radically and faithfully obey when it felt so risky and unwise? The God of glory had appeared to him. Now, this is a radical thing. And really, without Stephen's account, we wouldn't really know anything about this. We don't really know what happened here. We don't know how God appeared to Abraham. We don't know what that interaction was like. But Scripture tells us it happened. And it happened in such a way that Abraham said, even though this feels extremely risky, this God who has appeared to me is one I'm going to follow. When Abraham stood and he compared the true God of the Bible with the idols of his world, he said, there is no comparison. This God of the Bible has spoken to me. These idols that I hold, I have made with my own hands, and they can't talk to me. They're of no value, but this God is different. This God speaks with authority, and he is one who must be listened to. So the God of glory appeared to Abraham. And so here we get this idea. Do that slide for me. That walking by faith is a response to a person and a promise. Why would any of us do something that feels so risky? It only makes sense when we are responding to a person and a promise. So we see the story of Abraham. He's responding to this God who appeared to him. This God who came to him so clearly and gave him direction for his life. And even in that promise, when God first appeared, he offered him a promise that if you choose to obey, if you do what I'm asking you to do, I will bless you. I will bless the generations that follow you, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now that is quite a promise. That is quite a promise that Abraham heard and said, you know what? As scary and as risky as this seems, walking by faith makes sense. Because walking by faith is a response to a person and a promise. And we see this fleshed out again in the life of Saul. If you remember Saul, Saul was a terrorist of the church. He was a man with wrong religious convictions. And those religious convictions led him to killing people who were following Christ. And while he was going and journeying on his way to kill Christians, he had this radical experience in Acts chapter 9. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And look at his response. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a faithful response to someone who has seen the glory of God. Now we look at these events, we look at Abraham and we look at Saul and think, you know what, if God showed up to me in such a radical way, absolutely, I would walk by faith. I would be willing to risk it all at that point if God would simply show up and reveal himself to me. You know what? The Bible actually knew we would think that way, and it gave us an answer to that problem. Romans chapter 1 says this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, we have this idea that if God would show up in my life so radically, I would risk it all to follow. But in truth, every time we step outside and we see this creation, God is showing up to us in radical ways that reveal his glory. The creation shows that there is a God who is powerful and eternal. And so when we step outside, we see this God. We see the same God that Abraham saw. And we are faced and left with this same question. Do we trust him enough when it feels risky? But we also see, when we go back to verses 9 and 10 in Hebrews, Abraham was responding to a person, but he was also responding to this promise. Read these verses again. By faith, and he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you see here two times in these verses this issue of promise comes up? What is it that kept Abraham so focused when he felt like giving up? It was this promise. He remembered the God who had appeared to him, and he trusted the promise that God had made to him. You see, following an untrustworthy source is very risky, but following the all-powerful and trustworthy God is not. So put yourself back into this situation again with Survivor, and you're out in the jungle, and you're standing in that building, and I want to paint two different scenarios for you to think about. If you walked in there and you read that sign that says, pour your water down here and you'll have all the water that you need. Well, if that sign was signed by the Department of Natural Resources and it says, hey, we tested this well out last week and everything is fine, you'd be feeling fairly confident about that. But if you walk in and that same note is scribbled by a 5-year-old with a bright red crayon and it says, Billy was here in 2001, you're probably going to have a very, very different feeling about pouring your water down that hole. You see, sometimes when we consider the Christian life, we think of God as that 5-year-old with a crayon who's not really sure what he's doing. The God who is asking us to pour out our lives and to risk it all is the most trustworthy and sure foundation in this world. So yes, it feels risky. Yes, it feels scary. But don't forget the one who is asking you to follow. Now, sometimes these promises and following a person and following a promise is still not easy. Because look at the reality that Abraham experienced when he finally got to Canaan. He lived as in a foreign country dwelling in tents. Now, that's like the ultimate scary statement for Jeremy Brown right there. A life of living in a tent, right? How many of us would want to leave a fortified city of comfort and to go live as a nomad in this foreign place that you don't fit in and in a temporary tent? How many nights do you think he lay down with his wife and she just looked over at him, or he looked at her and said, "What are we doing?" How many times do you think he saw that tent and said, "Why am I still living here now that I'm 150 years old?" You see, this is a very, very hard reality. We can choose to follow the person. We can choose to trust the promises, and life still may feel like a foreign country. Life may still feel like we live in a tent for the rest of our life. But you notice what Abraham did? Walking by faith requires long-term vision. Abraham didn't allow the circumstances of his day to distract him from the promises that he knew were true and faithful. And so even though Abraham was dwelling in a tent, he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you see what Abraham was looking for? He was experiencing a temporary tent, but he knew there's a day coming when God is going to build a new city, and it's going to be a place with foundations, meaning it's permanent, it cannot be destroyed, and this is a city whose builder and maker is God. So even though he was living in the tent, he was looking for the city. Even though he was feeling the pains of the temporary, he was looking for the promise of the eternal. So don't get distracted, brothers and sisters. You may be living right in the middle of the land of promise, and it can feel like a foreign and a scary place. That does not mean that you're wrong. It does not mean that God is unfaithful. It does mean that right now we're waiting for the permanent city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want to leave you with one final point as we look at these verses. Look at who Noah was walking through this life with. Noah's faith did not just impact himself. We see that walking by faith impacts generations. Noah's choice to leave Ur, Noah's choice to leave it all, didn't just affect his life. He brought his wife, he brought his nephew, and eventually he was going to have kids and grandchildren who were going to hear and see the stories of Abraham's faith. And now we, some 4,000 years later, are retelling the stories of the faith of Abraham. Walking by faith impacts generations. Now sometimes that's a scary reality, because Abraham didn't get to see and experience the fulfillment of God's promises himself. Abraham didn't get to live and enjoy the inheritance of all of this land, but his children and their children did. You know, sometimes your choice to risk it all and walk by faith may not really benefit you in this life, but it may absolutely change the direction that your family and your friends take. So when you walk in radical faith, the impacts are so much greater than simply your own life. It feels so risky to walk by faith and to obey God in the big things of life, but also in those small, mundane, daily decisions that we have to make. But please hear me. Faith will always feel risky, but it is not. Walking by faith is the most sure foundation that we can have for this life and in the life to come. Right now, we are living in the middle of a desert. We are living in a parched land with no hope. We are living amongst a people who feel the burdens of living in a place with no life. But we know that God is the source of abundant, eternal, life-giving water. But you know the craziest part of this whole thing? Do you know how God's life-giving truth comes to impact a dry and barren land? It comes when you choose to take your life and you choose to trust God enough with your life that you pour it out. And when we offer to God our little lives and our little following and obedient faith, God is able to take that and it primes the pump for the water that can irrigate a dry and broken world. It feels risky to follow Christ by faith. But when you choose to do so, that is what God uses to change a generation and a nation and a world for His glory, because He alone is the sure foundation for life. So may we be a church that is not satisfied with doing the motions of Christianity, but we live radical lives of faith, because even though it's risky, and even though we come together and say, I am terrified to take this step of faith, we can look and we can say, we know that faith is always sure because we are trusting a person and a promise that is faithful. God will finish what He has started. It may not feel like it today, but we serve a faithful and all-powerful God. May our lives prime the pump for His life-giving water that can change this world. Let's pray. Father, it's an amazing reality, the truth of who You are. But God, it is so hard to stay focused on You and on Your goodness and on Your trustworthy character when life feels so chaotic. Father, I thank You for my brothers and sisters in this room. I thank You for the lives of faith that they have lived. I thank You for the encouragement that we can offer one another when we choose to simply walk by faith. God, I pray that this body of believers here would constantly encourage one another towards deeper and more radical, obedient faith. Father, we thank You for the free gift of salvation that You have made available to all. Father, I pray that in response to Your salvation, that we will be men and women who choose to radically live by faith. It's in Your great name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.